Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
the sunrises and sunsets this time of year are incredible. So making sure that we chase them and get as much beauty in our eyes as possible. Like, support yourself and seek the goodness, like seek the joy.
Do people need to sort of almost put a thing in the diary where he goes, right, I need to have some fun here. Like, then here's the fun bit. How am I going to have some fun this week?
You know, this week, somebody said to me, it's a game changer how I spend that first hour of the day and I do something to nourish myself and, yeah, light myself up a bit.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, and as ever, thank you for checking out the podcast. Your streams, your downloads, your shares, your mentions on social media are always more than welcome. We've had a busy 2 weeks, the last couple of weeks, focusing on our live editions of the Mental Health Monday podcast. They were brilliant to get so many fantastic guests on as well, and thanks to everyone who's been engaging with that on social media. It's what we do here on Mental Health Monday, and it's something we will continue to do. Wanted to spend a little bit of time this week on the podcast reflecting on sort of where we are in the year, because I don't know about you, it can be a tough old start to the year, January, February, March time. You know, I've got the daffodils in the garden are starting to look like they're about to start showing some flowers, and the snowdrops are up. So we're coming out of the darkest days of winter. But at the same time, we're a long way away from the heady days of summer. And it can be a really difficult time of the year for people. We hear about seasonal affective disorder, people who, you know, really struggle at this time of year because it's cold, because it's dark, because it's more difficult to get out and about, because plans are harder to make because a lot of people are sort of staying indoors. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time with someone who can give us a sense of where our bodies are at with that, why it happens to us and why we feel a certain way. Also, as part of the conversation, we'll talk about sort of how we're setting out our time for the year, if you will. I don't know about you, but life can feel chocker at times, and you want to make time for yourself, but it doesn't always feel like there is time to make time for yourself. So I want to talk about prioritizing things as well, and how we can get maybe some tips and advice around that, including the amount of time we spend on our mobile phones. Latest stats show that we spend about 4 hours a day on our mobile phone, while at the same time, we'll often complain we don't have enough time to do anything. But 4 hours a day, a large portion of our waking hours are spent looking at a screen. And that can be for various different reasons. But surely that's in the mix about using that time a little bit more effectively. We shall see as part of this conversation. Katie Brown is our guest. She's one of the coaching team at the Vibrancy Hub. I'll get a link to her Instagram, the website as well, up on the podcast notes for this week's episode. But she guided us through all of those topics from her own personal perspective. So much so that rather than focusing on the big summer getaway, she starts by telling me that she shifted her summer break, if you like, her chance to get out into the sun, to much earlier in the year. Because, of course, those dark days can be really difficult.
Yeah, it's, and I've cheated because I escaped. I went to California to the sun for the month for very good reason, because I personally really struggle with it. So I think winter as a whole is quite tricky for me. And that run up to Christmas, where it is exciting and pretty and there's lots of lovely things in the diary, is a bit different. But generally speaking, when we come back to real life in the new year, to January especially, and all of this lovely connected fun stuff has subsided, people might be doing dry January, they might feel quite skin, it's dark, the lack of light is massive, probably less so than the temperature, I think, and it just, I've always really struggled with it. I assumed that everybody else in the world did, but I think actually perhaps I do struggle with it a bit more. But then reading more and more about SAD and that seasonal affective disorder and that lack of light is really interesting. For me, it's something that I worked on the last few years to really support myself and take it more seriously. So it's something now that I help people with, whether that is light, so like using a lamp that helps to wake you up in the morning, whether it is, you know, I always encourage people to really try and align to the seasons as much as possible. So I think one of the trickiest things with this is that we can enter the new year and the messaging that we are assaulted with from all aspects of the world is like, new year, new year, new you, come on, set your goals, let's do this. Like this energetic, very young influence, which is completely wrong when you look at nature. and you look at what nature's doing, you try to emulate it. Well, nature is in deep midwinter. It's absolutely, as you say, in a cave. It's cocooned. It's quiet. That's exactly what we should be doing, and allowing ourselves to still do that throughout January, and literally looking to nature as a guide. So hopefully everybody's seen that the last week or two, there's some changes starting to happen. There's the snowdrops are coming through. There's the odd daffodil. Like, the world is starting to wake up. Well, use that as your guide. And if you do, that's how you can support yourself.
How much of that then, Katie, how much of our thought when people go January or February, there's a mix then, isn't there? There's the mix of the natural, the lack of daylight and things like that. But then there's that sort of enforced stuff that we do, the new you, that I'm going to do. There's like a man-made version of why January sucks. And then there's the natural version of why January sucks. And I guess we can, that I think the natural side of it is a lot more understandable because you can see the seasons and they're guaranteed. You know they're coming and you can, you know when the sun's going to set and you know when the sun's going to... But all that other stuff, that's us. That's our baggage going on it, the way we think about it. That's like almost like a mindset thing. So I guess there's a balance that we've got to strike in ourselves, haven't we, around our own expectations of what these months are going to be like. Knowing that, there's nothing you can do about when the sun comes up or when the sun comes down or what the temperature is going to be outside.
Exactly that. Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Like our society has just layered on all of this stuff that we think that we should be doing, and getting that balance is so tricky. It's really hard because it's kind of, I guess it takes such an awareness and such a conscious intentionality in terms of how we look at it. So it's kind of trying to really turn down the volume and be conscious about what we're consuming in terms of that pressure and expectation that is not at the right time. And kind of just trying to gently part that a little bit for February, March, maybe spring equinox in March and beyond, then absolutely go for it, yay. And then in January and into February, respecting where we actually are in terms of nature and looking at how you can support yourself, how you can nourish yourself, what you can do to ease the darkness, to bring a little bit more light back in, how you can really make the most of that kind of very hoo-gar downtime and still plan to connect with people and still really indulge and enjoy the kind of cozy activities and listen to what your body needs. Like, that is, it's so simple when you know more about it, and yet it's so hard because it's not what society is telling you.
Let me ask you about that then from a point of view of, you know, the staying indoors, the duvet days, the watching the movies days. I hope you're going to say that they're okay and actually it's a good time to do it. But equally, people at the same time are hearing messages around, you know, being fit and active and getting out and about. And again, I guess there's a balance to strike there. But as you mentioned with nature, we talked about that right at the start, you know, the trees aren't even, you know, are at the bud stage. They're not showing their faces yet because it's not the right time to do so.
No, that's it. Yeah, I love that question. Yeah, what a balance it is. And I guess, again, really trying to listen to yourself and trust yourself in terms of what you need. So for some people in January, if I had not escaped California, if I'd have been here in January, I would have certainly been cozied up under a blanket on the sofa quite a lot. And if that's what you feel like you need, of course, that's okay. And remembering that daylight, when it's so scarce, is critical. And therefore, and as early in the day as possible, that's always going to impact our sleep. So therefore, during the week, and especially at the weekend, like, make sure you do get outside as well, even if it's just for a walk. The sunrises and sunsets this time of year are incredible. So making sure that we chase them and get as much beauty in our eyes as possible. Like, support yourself and seek the goodness, like, seek the joy.
I do tend to find, though, the days in the UK where there's blue sky, often chilly days, the sunshine is quite intense. You know, it's quite low in the sky. And if you are out and about on a day like that, particularly if you're walking in the countryside or walking by the coast, I still feel like you get that same hit, and I presume there's a vitamin D thing going on there as well. And I feel like you've been out and about. But sunshine, it's an underrated thing, isn't it? But such a crucial part of everything that exists on the planet wouldn't exist without that sunshine. So maybe we should appreciate it a little bit more when it shines in the sky.
That's it. And I think, you know, we have such a reputation in the UK of think about a British summer and think about the tabloids and everyone's got the top off. I get it. Like, I agree with them. I think when you live in a country where there isn't a huge amount of daylight in the winter and where the sun is, you know, the climate is what it is, we have to chase it. It's really important. So allowing ourselves to respect how important that is, and I guess coming onto different topics that I work on as well, like making sure that your time isn't always blocked up, so that there is some freedom there, so you can be a bit more spontaneous. Like, actually, I'm gonna prioritize this. I know that being outside is gonna be important for me and my health and my happiness. And if the weather, looking ahead a bit as well, if the weather looks decent, like, let's work with that.
Let's move on and talk about some more of the work you do with Vibrancy Hub, Katie. You know, when people are looking at this year, they're making plans, they might be thinking about things they want to do. And the number one thing they will always think about, as well as money, of course, when things cost money, is the time. So if you want to start doing something, or if you want to do something a little bit extra, or you want to try something on top of your current responsibilities, it will always come down to, I haven't got the time. And it's a really good, I'm not even going to say an excuse, I'm going to say it's a really good reason not to do anything. I don't have the time for it. I think sometimes people run around like a certain type of fly without ever, you know, almost burning out because they're trying to squeeze too much in. And yet time, again, when we talk about nature, is one of those things we can't add to. There's a finite amount of it. It's another crucial resource that we've got to manage. What sort of things do you advise when people come to you and talk about time? I haven't got the time.
What a question. Okay, so it's one of the biggest things, and it is something that through my coaching sessions, at some point, somebody will say to me, and especially a parent, and I'm not a parent, so it's quite a difficult conversation actually to really give your opinion on something that you haven't lived. But when people say constantly, I haven't got time, which of course I understand, I do feel similarly sometimes. It's around taking a bit of a step back, and as much as it feels like life can be happening to us and it's very full and we don't have an awful lot of choice, it's remembering that actually we do have choice. And a lot of how we spend our time, whilst it feels like it's sort of preempted for us, actually there are choices within there, not necessarily easy ones. But we do have choice. We have more choice than we think. We have more agency than we think. And I think the first step to anything is, well, first of all, I would always suggest to somebody, like, it's stepping out of your life a bit. It's getting off the hamster wheel. It's creating space to have this contemplation and reflection. So that's what coaching sessions are about. That's what a retreat day would be about, or taking yourself off for a walking day outside for the day. Like, you've got to get that headspace. And then it's getting really clear on what it is that you want and what change you want to make, or what it is that you want to work towards, what it is you desire, and why. Like, why? The why is the really important crux, because if you can get clear on that and the difference, the impact that that's going to make to your life and to how you feel and how you're experiencing life, then that's your driver, that's your anchor.
I was going to say, how much of that is held back by what I call routine, sort of like, this is just the way my day goes. I have this theory where if everyone had a little CCTV camera on their lives, in terms of when they got up, when they had breakfast, when they had lunch, when they made tea, when they sat down in front of the sofa, when they went to brush their teeth, give or take, most people's days would be exactly the same every single day. And I think as much as anything, Katie, sometimes it's the breaking of that routine, no matter how good or bad, which is actually the hard thing to do, where it's suddenly like, oh, on a Tuesday night I now do this, or on a Wednesday morning I now get up at this time. That's the hard thing to do, because you're breaking the routine of how you normally do things.
Oh god, I love that example. So true. And that's, yeah, probably one of the first and most difficult, as you say, things to do, is to, you've got to raise awareness really and get honest with yourself as to how you're living your life, what choices you're making, where your time is going. And that's something that my business partner would always talk about in when she's working with organizations as well. It's like kind of taking a reflection and looking at literally where your time is going, a timesheet, and getting really honest about it, because there's things that we can do here, there's choices we can make. And it is then a case of, and I love that you're talking about routine, which are actually habits. And there might be some good ones in there and some not so good ones, but we can do something about it. It can be then about looking ahead and think, okay, well, on Tuesday night so far, I've always done this. And actually, what I'm going to do is change it to this. And it requires permission, giving yourself permission, which can be one of the trickiest parts in terms of our belief system and our training. But it's totally possible. It's totally possible once you have that motivation, when you're clear on what it is that you're trying to work towards.
I guess as well, there's the things that people will say, well, I need to do this and I need to be here. And that might be work, or it might be school pickup, or it might be what a million and one different things, appointments, caring responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. And then there's only a certain amount of time that people have where it's suddenly like stuff that's on my term where I'm not recovering from having done the other stuff as well. Do people need to sort of almost put a thing in the diary where he goes, right, I need to have some fun here. Like then here's the fun bit. Is it fun the right word? I'm not sure. We're like, right, now how am I going to have some fun this week? And I wonder whether or not you need to be a little bit more selfish around the need to have fun or enjoyable activities, a bit of you time where it's something beyond, you know, the sofa time or whatever it would be.
Yes, yes, you're so right. That's exactly what happens. People come and they're like, these are all of my responsibilities and I don't see a way around this. There's something that I would always work with a coaching client on that, to look at that very honestly as well and to see what shifts can be made there. Where can things be approached a bit differently? Where can you ask for help? Some people are not good at asking for help. So there is a bit of like practical, there's a bit of a practical assessment that can be done there. And then outside of that, yes, absolutely. So then it's about looking at, okay, so what time is there available or could be trialed and experimented with, and where can we create a bit of time here, whether that's during your week and it's small pockets, mini holidays, or whether it's more time at the weekend. And then that is about exactly that. It is looking forwards and protecting that time. Yeah, that time is potentially going to be for me or me with someone doing something, and getting clear on what you would love that to be, starting there, what would feel amazing.
What sort of things, Katie, do people say to you that they've done or added into that slot and it's made a difference? What are those sort of examples that maybe you could give us of the changes that people have made and built into their busy routine of responsibilities?
I mean, everything from certainly connected time, so time with the people that they really want to be connecting with and bonding with. So definitely that. Definitely kind of, I suppose, more lifestyle hobbies in terms of, I would love to do more of X, Y, and Z. Walking outside, different creative hobbies, working on writing my book, moving my body, all of these different things. Something maybe quite left field and really fun, and something that sounds more, I don't know, jumping out of a plane. And those are the things that before just had to wait. And until it is moving up the list of priorities and it's actually given more respect and, to your point, diarised, planned ahead and plotted in and protected and reflected upon as to how they did feel, then it won't happen.
And well, with that in mind then, when we talk about a list of priorities, actually most people would say the thing that is fun or the thing that offers me joy, happiness, contentment, they would put that lower down in their list of priorities, wouldn't they? Naturally, people would do that. That the stuff that's enjoyable, it can't be that important because it makes me smile and makes me laugh. And I wonder what that's got to be self-taught, or that's going to be absorbed from somewhere, because you could totally see a society which placed fun, joy, you know, exciting activities, connectivity significantly higher in that list of priorities in a way that we probably don't. And is that self-taught? Is that society taught? Or is that something else going on?
It's our beautiful society again that's taught us these messages that we've had around productivity is king. The go, 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 keep trying, keep giving your energy. We've got to be achieving here. It's been massive throughout our entire upbringing. And it's so subconscious. And I love that you've asked this question, because And actually used the word before that it can feel selfish and indulgent to protect this time for you. And what I would really encourage people to do is to remember or experiment and prove to themselves that if you are bringing this, let's call it fun, bringing fun up the list of priorities, and maybe this is only an hour or two a week to begin with, and you are doing something there which takes you out of your busy mind, brings you into the present moment far more so. You're doing something which is lighting you up in some way, is changing your energy, making you feel excited, making you feel happy, getting those endorphins going. The energy then that you are able to give out to people, so not only have you experienced something wonderful and you're enjoying life a bit more, the energy that you're able to give out to people, to the people that you live with and you love, to the people that you lead at work, to everyone, to strangers, they're going to get the much, much better version of you, more present, more connected, more inspiring, more fun to be around. Then it's not selfish. It's the opposite.
I think actually people who listened to last week's episode of the podcast, well, I mentioned this up on an event I was at just last week around the idea of the word selfish being a word which we've been always taught is a bad thing because it's yourself at the expense of others. Whereas I think there's a different version of selfish, which is the best of yourself for others, but knowing when you need to prioritise either side. And I think that's certainly a conversation. Katie, let me ask you about when we talk about time and people go, I haven't got time, there's no time, I don't have time, I'm always doing something. And then they go on their phone and it says, how much time have you spent looking at your phone in the last 24 hours? And it says that you've spent 3 hours plus a day staring at a screen. I wonder whether or not this is where we've got a potential sort of opportunity, shall we say. This is technology is the thing which has come into our lives, which we just adopted without really creating any rules around it, without knowing any sort of like safety connections around it, certainly without then teaching our kids about what a safe time it is to be spent looking at Instagram or scrolling through whatever or answering emails. That no one's got enough time, and yet we all spend too much time. I'm gonna guess we all spend too much time with technology and looking at technology. Two sides of it. It can be great and it can be wonderful. It can connect with us in different and incredible ways. My other way of thinking about it is that it's going to be the absolute destruction of humanity, that the whole world around us will crumble and the people around us will crumble and we won't really notice because we're looking at a little screen in front of us. At the moment, I'm leaning towards the latter, unfortunately. There's a balance again when it comes to social media, but you probably see it as well in terms of what people say to you about the amount of time they are with their phones for and looking at their phones and scrolling on their phones and doing anything on their phones other than putting their phones down and actually engaging with the world around them.
Yeah, well, thank you for being honest about that because I feel exactly the same. And I do worry deeply that it's one of the very biggest problems that we face for humanity at the moment. I wrote a bit of a research paper a couple of years ago and it was post-COVID. And that research showed that it was around 4 hours a day that the average human was spending on the phone, which is 28 hours a week, which is 17% of the year. And it is so innocuous. And it is that extremely unconscious thing that we do. And because we do it in bite-sized chunks, we think it's bite-sized, it's probably longer. To your point, absolutely, when people say to me, look at me like I'm mad that I'm suggesting they go to yoga class on a Wednesday night, they have not got time to do these things. Okay. Well, when we do that assessment as to where your time is going, let's get really honest here and let's look at that screen time at the end of the week. I know it feels like it's in these bite-sized chunks, so it doesn't have this massive impact, but you have the proof there that that is where those hours are being spent. It's a really hard one, and none of us are exempt from this, including me. It's so unconscious. It's something that we do to distract ourselves and numb ourselves. And to your point, it also holds so much good and opportunity and opportunity for connection. And it's not our fault that we're completely addicted. There has been billions of dollars spent to make sure that that's happening. And every single time, I've been on my phone more than I wanted to be recently. And every single time, you know, you're aware of that little jolt of dopamine that comes and it feels good. The problem comes with the fact that this massive impact that it's having that probably is so unconscious and people just don't realise. So even away from the time, when people come to me and they're talking, I had a client last night that was talking about having just a very busy head. And I see people constantly that are feeling anxious and overwhelmed and stressed and exhausted and have no time. I think when you're adding these layers of information to what is already a busy mind, that, you know, this is a very real problem. This is where I believe that it's a huge contributor to where overwhelm is coming from.
If we had a list of the amount of time we spent online, like I have, like you need to go on your phone for a map that then gives you your sat nav directions to somewhere where you're going. You've also got your family WhatsApp group where you've gotten updates about a relative who's in hospital, or that you're sending a photo of something that kids have done in school. So there's like the utility, and then there's the communication, and then there's the notice board kind of stuff around, and here's a picture of me doing this. To me, then it's the rest of the time, it's probably more than 50% of the time, which is now what else is going on here? What am I missing? And I think this is, for me, the concern that I have around like society is that people then think that time is the valuable time, that, and like the conspiracy theories are the time that tells, that's when they start doing their research and when they start picking up the nonsense that you read on the internet. It's when people start scrolling and have the algorithms build towards them seeing negative things that they will eventually see because they're scrolling through literally everything on the internet. There's almost like there's like a dark web built within our web time as well. And I think that's the thing where it's like, where's your valuable on your online time? Where's your valuable screen time? And when's just the other screen time where you want to keep scrolling because you will think you'll see something. And when you see something, you'll legitimize the whole 20 minutes you've spent seeing nothing for that one thing that you saw that then gave you the dopamine hit that then made you think, well, I'd see. It was worth looking through all those hideous videos and seeing all those racist posts and looking at all those absolute nonsense and all the garbage, because then I saw something that I was interested in. The value that we've placed on that comes with a lot of negativity, surely, that we need to do something about.
And that takes a huge amount of self-awareness. That is, once you know that, and you know that that's the truth, that that is exactly what's happening day in, day out, then at some point when you're in that dark space, when you've gone and you're in that space, at some point you will be able to have a word with yourself and catch yourself and pull yourself out. But that's a very conscious intention. I don't think that's the norm. And that is absolutely the problem. That's where this overwhelm of information is coming from. And to your point, potentially quite negative and quite harmful, and certainly not something that nourishes our mental and emotional health at all. And it's also where all this time has been taken up. So we have to get really serious with this. There's things we can do, but because we're so addicted, we have to take it really seriously, and we have to help ourselves and really support ourselves to change it. I would always
say, what are the practical things, Katie, you can do? What would you say that, like, if you were to say to someone, right, I was listening to someone on the podcast talking about we use our phone far too much to the detriment of society and humanity, and what did they say you should do? Like, what advice can we then give people that means that they can put their phone down, that they maybe develop that consciousness that you were talking about?
I would always say to take the time to get clear on the why behind this again, because without that motivation, without that pillar, it's just not going to work. So what is it that you want to move away from? Where is it not helping you? And what is it you want to move towards? So what are you missing out on with that extra time we're going to create? Like, what is it that you want to experience? Get clear on that so you can remember why you're doing it when you don't want to. It is about creating new habits because willpower will not work. It cannot work because of how it's been designed. Not our fault. So this is where we have to get really granular, and it sounds silly and hilarious, but unless we support ourselves in this way, it just won't happen. So removing temptation, hiding your phone, hiding it from yourself. So you go downstairs for the evening, you leave your phone upstairs. When I'm working on a project, I hide my phone in another room or in a drawer. If it's in your line of sight, you will want to check it. So we have to literally remove the temptation. It has to be that silly. Turning notifications off. So this is something I talk to people about a lot. Some people, it seems now people are getting to grips with this, so perhaps they just have certain notifications on. But that's really a choice, because if you have notifications on your phone, you are essentially saying, I'm here to be interrupted at any point. So being really, I don't have any on. That means that with something like WhatsApp, where people, you know, everyone now expects a reply, people have to get used to the fact that I will be a slower replier, and that has to be okay. If someone needs me, they'll have to call me and I'll hear it ringing in a different room. It also means creating boundaries. So this takes real practice, but carving out time for phone use. So if that means, and this is trial and experimentation and different for everybody, but if that means 20 minutes, mid-morning and mid-afternoon, and then up in the evening, trying that and seeing like what it is that you can get through and prioritizing what you consume then within that time. It's a very different way of using it, so it's not easy to do. Really important boundaries in terms of the first 60 minutes of the day and the last 60 minutes of the day. So all of this research shows that the first 60 to 90 minutes of how we spend our day is going to impact how we feel massively and how we move throughout our day. So, you know, I say this to people and they're like, the first thing I do is pick up my phone and use it as my alarm. So, okay, buy an alarm clock. Like that's easy. I look at my phone and then I see notifications and I start to scroll. And so that then is impacting absolutely their mental and emotional space in terms of how they step into the day. So that is one of the first things I get any coaching client to do. And they do it. And they, you know, this week somebody said to me, it's a game changer how I spend that first hour of the day and I do something to nourish myself and light myself up a bit. What else? I think a bit of accountability. So this is, it's so hard. So it requires asking for support. If you live with somebody, telling them what you're doing and why, and that you need support with it, encouraging each other, that's really helpful because this is so unconscious and we do it without knowing. Decluttering your feeds as well. So when you are using, let's say, social media, be honest with yourself and get accountable for what it is that you're consuming. So declutter those feeds, make sure you're getting rid of stuff that doesn't feel good. And add in stuff you want to be doing. So going back to our earlier point, if you start to look ahead and start to plot in the stuff that feels good and you know is going to be good for you, well then that's the priority. That takes up that time, and that means that you then can't be sat scrolling away on your phone.
Absolutely. I think it's really great advice, Katie. I'm so pleased that you're able to sort of give like that practical advice as well. Getting an alarm clock is such a great idea because people will go, well, you know, I can't not look at my phone because it's my alarm clock. Like it's like they're absolutely number one excuse. And right from the start of the day before you start going, how much time does it actually say on your phone that you've spent online? I think it's a really interesting one. Katie, we're fast running out of time. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Thank you for your thoughts about guiding us through this winter period. The sunnier days are coming. Really appreciate it. I'll put a link to the Vibrancy Hub on the podcast notes. And we really appreciate your thoughts on the podcast today.
I have loved talking to you. What a joy. Thank you for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.